Today's episode is sponsored by Umore. Umore helps us better understand and uplift our mental health with instant screening, data tracking, insights, and targeted exercises. I've had the pleasure of having both co-founders on the podcast, and I really admire what they do and love their vision behind the company. Umore is the AI-powered mental well-being tracker that helps you build positive habits, change behaviors, and share your progress with friends, family, and physicians. Umore's vision is to make mental health as seamless and as accessible as possible. Its purpose is to act as a support and prevention tool and to provide you with the data and insights to help you develop an awareness of your current mental state and stress levels. The way it works is very simple. You download the app for free on your smartphone. You fill in a quick questionnaire that will assess how you're currently feeling, which will act as a starting point, and it will check in with you daily to track your well-being over time and so that you are able to see your progression day by day. Umore also gives you access to many evidence-based exercises which are designed to help you live your happiest and healthiest life. The goal of Umore is to be your friend, is there to help and support you in your mental health journey. And to find out more, you can check out their website at umore.app. Hey guys, welcome to Hope It Helps. Today's guest is Noray Jerahian, aka Noz. Noz comes from a financial background and spent over 6 years working as an investment banker in the UK. He moved to Dubai back in 2019 and is currently the head of strategy at Hantech Markets, which is a multinational financial brokerage. During this episode, we discuss the various forms of communication. We talk about the challenges and the misunderstandings that can arise, what it means to be a good communicator, and the concept of what does it mean to have an open mind. And the last message he wanted to share is, your time is precious, make sure you're doing what makes you happy, and most importantly, be selectively open-minded. Please welcome to the show my good friend, Mr. Noray Jerahian.
Very good.
Is it good?
Yeah, very good.
How you doing, my man? Welcome to the show.
Good, bro. Happy to be here, actually.
Happy to have you, bro. You
I'm very impressed on the sidelines watching you. So being here is a big step.
Yes, we are honored to have you. The audience is very happy to have Noz on the show. So usually on the podcast, the people I bring on, I'm interviewing you or speaking to you about something particular that like you do, whether you're in finance, marketing, musician, whatever the fuck you do. But today, I wanted to take a bit of a different approach, to have some conversations that you maybe couldn't have with just a random person or not someone you're inviting on the podcast. You're inviting them for a reason. But I think with us, because we're homies, we can have a different kind of conversation about some topics that have come to mind recently for myself, because I'm like, okay, there's a lot that maybe I didn't think about, I wasn't aware of. But anyway, we're going to get into all of it. Today's all about communication, guys. Before we get into everything, Mr. Noz, why don't you give... Oh, Noz, by the way, that's what we call him. Yeah. Before we get into everything, man, why don't you give all of us a little bit of background about yourself and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, sure. So, born and raised in London to Armenian parents. Grew up there most of my life until about 3 years ago when I moved to Dubai. Have an investment banking background. Did that for 6 years. Decided that wasn't for me. Tried to launch an online diamonds business.
By the way, yeah, I saw that today on LinkedIn. I was like, when was the fuck is he in diamonds?
And that business decided it wasn't for me, rather than the other way around.
Okay.
And then it all sort of developed fairly quickly that I had an opportunity to come to Dubai and join a company called Hantech Markets.
Yeah.
And I'm head of strategy. Hantech Markets, a financial online trading company.
So you're the guy, you told me he's the guy, guys. You want like 500x leverage, go to Noz.
We have it all. 500 to 1. If you're willing to take those high stakes, come to Hantech Markets.
They'll take good care of you.
That's the daily shilling right there.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks for sharing that, by the way. I like everyone to explain who they are, where they came from. You're in Dubai now, investments, whatever. So recently, a lot of things have happened that I've been starting to think about communication, like the concept of it. And I was starting to think, am I a good communicator? Am I bad? What makes a good one? What makes a bad one? How do you do it? And so on. So, and I had a couple of conversations with friends, so a lot of ideas have popped up. So let's start first. If I told you, Noz, I'm like, how would you describe what a good communicator is? Or how would you describe being a good communicator? What would you say?
It's a very good question, and actually, most recently, I've sort of had a big revelation when it comes to communication. So it's interesting that you sort of...
Timing's right.
Yeah, exactly. I think before, I would have probably gone down the route of, you know, all the sort of traditional stuff that everyone say, you know, eye contact, speaking sort of clearly, making sure that you think before you speak. A lot of people say hand gestures and stuff like that, and body language is another form of good communication. But recently, and really through NFTs, which is sort of a big hobby of mine these days, I've realized that what you purchase is a big form of communication. And some people that maybe aren't so vocal, they communicate in that way. And I really learned that in the virtual world, for example, what you own digitally is a form of communication. This watch I wear is a form of communication in the physical world. So I think communication for me is sort of a very, very sort of deep topic.
Yeah.
Because it's not just me talking to you.
Mm.
It's my actions. It's what I buy. It's what I choose to say about myself as well, not just the sort of content. So yeah.
That's
sort of how I think about it these days.
I've never thought about it in that way, actually, but I recently watched, obviously, Gary Vee's podcast, and he talked about these kind of things, and I never thought of, like my watch, for example, like, I'm communicating something to you, or my t-shirt, or my whatever. I've always thought communication, typically, I guess most people think, like, oh, you're a good communicator, that means you speak well, you listen well, but
exactly.
I've never thought of all the other ways that we're communicating this to people. And it's interesting, why do you think like we don't pay attention to the whole other side that's there?
I think most of the time you don't realize you're communicating. I think that's
true.
When I like to use this example as well, when someone buys a Porsche, they don't maybe automatically think, consciously anyway, that I'm communicating to the people around me when I'm driving this Porsche.
Yeah.
But you are. I mean, obviously, you're buying it for loads of other different reasons as well. But first and foremost, really, even before you talk, someone sees you in that car, you're telling them something.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the time, it's just you don't consciously know that you're doing it. And until you sort of realize that purchases or what you're wearing and sort of not just talking is a form of communication, it sort of changes the way you think about everything.
Yeah.
And what you want to say about yourself. For example, maybe the moment you realize that, do you know what? Me wearing this watch tells someone who sits in front of me something about myself before I even say it.
Mm.
Maybe you think twice about wearing that watch next time.
That's actually a very good point. And like you said, I don't think we're consciously doing it. So, okay, let's bring the two worlds together. Let's say there's... on the concept of good communication or a good communicator. So now there's the, I guess, the talking side. And then there's the, the nonverbal side or the hidden side, if you want to call it, that we don't know we're showing. So if you want to merge the two, can I change the unconscious stuff that I'm doing to help me be a good communicator, like verbally? Or is there any synergy or any way for those two worlds to connect?
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more, to me anyway, it makes sense that sometimes the environment that you're in can help you communicate, for example. I know loads of people that really struggle in a social setting.
Yeah.
However, you put them in a sort of work environment maybe, or in school, or and university, when you're sort of in education, they were completely different people.
Yeah.
So I think in the same way, maybe the environment, stuff that you're wearing, stuff that you're seeing around you as well, it just helps give you that confidence, I guess, and make you a better sort of communicator as well. Because already you're comfortable with that person knowing, do you know what, I don't need to wear a suit because I don't need to pretend and communicate.
Yeah.
I need to wear a suit. I'm going to be in my sweats. I feel comfortable doing that. It's already communicating something to that person before I even say anything.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And once you get sort of comfortable with that, I think it sort of changes the way you're able to sort of verbally communicate as well.
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting point. I think when you brought up the concept of different environments, you communicate differently and or you react differently and so on. And it's funny that I agree with what you said, that you can play to that environment. So let's say I'm going into a meeting with like some fitness people. Okay.
Yeah.
Me going in wearing like a suit and a tie and whatever, it's probably not, even though like it's a meeting and I want to present myself in that way, I'm not catering to that audience. So already you might have a perception of me that doesn't, he's like, oh, this guy probably doesn't align. Yeah, he's just another suit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've actually like never thought of that. So on the concept of different environments, because I think there's three different types of environments. There's your personal life, so like family and stuff. There's relationships like at work and, you know, and like romantic relationships. And then there's the general public, the people that you just meet. Mm. So which of the three do you think, I guess, is the most challenging to change?
Yeah, I think that's another really good point, that of environment aside, the relationship matters as well. Again, I know loads of people who can communicate very effectively with colleagues.
Yeah.
And then the moment they maybe, you know, need to speak to their girlfriend or the other way around, they're not sort of transparent maybe. Mm. And again, to be honest, that for me is the biggest point when it comes to communication, verbally anyway. That transparency.
Okay.
And that's the same sort of when you're communicating subconsciously as well, because if you're wearing a suit because you have to rather than you want to, again,
yeah,
that's going to limit that communication. But yeah, I think the romantic side of things is probably the hardest.
Yeah.
Because you have to compromise more, in my opinion, there.
Compromise more?
In the sense that at work, if you have a view, as long as you're not doing it sort of abrasively or aggressively, you can sort of make that point.
Mm.
I think in a relationship, sometimes you might have a view about something, and it might not be the, sort of necessarily the best thing to voice that opinion. And that's fine. And I think, but that's important to know that and recognize that.
Yeah.
That sometimes you just keep quiet.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it's those sort of like subtle intricacies in a romantic relationship that matter most. I think with friends, like me and you, for example, we can say whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get over it. Even if I say something that annoys you.
It's fine.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In the work environment, you have to be a bit careful. And then, especially when you're starting out in a romantic relationship, I think it matters.
Yeah.
Especially if the person in front of you in that relationship is sort of looking for something serious.
True.
It was quite funny. So, I mean, not quite funny, but I don't agree with it. But someone, sure. I don't know if you've heard of this show, Love is Blind.
Literally, I watched the first. So the concept of the show is what interested me. I'm like, okay, I like this idea. And then it just became another shitty reality show, so I didn't watch it. Yeah. But like me and Lana, for example, finished it the other day and we're like, oh my God, he said this and like all that shit. But anyway, continue.
One person did say on that show was marriage is the ultimate purchase.
Yeah, we literally just watched that yesterday.
Which like, obviously it's wrong when you're saying that because the husband is buying the wife and those sort of negative connotations. But actually, in terms of what you're investing, whether it's yourself, be it your time, whether it's your money, like candidly speaking, it's a big sort of money investment usually.
Yeah, of course.
Your emotions, your mental side of things, all these sort of layers of investment that you're putting into a marriage, it matters. And that is sort of like you're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
So I think because it's so difficult, so coming back to the communication point, and there's so many sort of moving parts to a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
I think that's why it is sort of the trickiest one.
And that's a good point, because I think in let's say we're comparing those two environments. We're looking at work, we're looking at and romantic relationships.
Hmm.
I bring family into it also for a certain reason, because there's a way that, for example, I will speak to like my parents or like my brothers because they're my family.
Hmm.
Like they will see probably a side of me that I will only show to them, but not because I'm hiding it from other people. It's only because we have like a history, like a whole relationship history. Yeah. Be like, oh man, get off my ass, or whatever the case might be. So that's one. Work, I think, like you said, there's, if you have a certain view, I think the word you use is perfect, is compromise. I think that's a very important word, because we can negotiate, for example, at work, me and you don't agree on something, but we can come to some sort of understanding. But either way, at work, I'm still isolated. It's like myself, not isolated like from people and whatever, but your identity is me.
Yeah.
I'm Khaled, I'm Nal, this is what I believe, this is what I do, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, whatever the case might be. Now, romantic relationship, I 100% agree. And this is something that I learned recently. So I've learned recently that you can say something and it can be taken in a completely different way. Now, this part opens up so many different things, because I have a bunch of questions on this, because, and I even spoke to another friend of mine about it, because I was like, how do you address it? How do you change it? And it's not a problem. It's just something that's interesting. So let's say I tell you a story. I say something to you. I'm giving you advice, for example, okay?
Yeah.
Couple things. Number one, the way I deliver the message is very important. Two, the content of the message is important. And three, the most importantly, is the intent. Now, this is the trickiest part, because I could be telling you something from, and my intent is good. You know, it's a positive intent.
Yeah.
But you could take that in a completely different way. So I'm like, okay, let's look at that situation. How do you change that so the other person doesn't interpret it in that way? But my friend's like, you can't control how people interpret things.
But I actually think you can a little bit, because, and this is something that I hate, texting, for example.
Okay.
I hate communicating over text.
Okay.
Whether it's with my girlfriend or whether it's with sort of my friends or whatever.
Yeah.
I prefer, if I'm going to sort of speak to someone, either on the phone or in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the channel that you're communicating on, especially WhatsApp.
Mm, yeah.
It's the perfect place for something to be misinterpreted.
True.
Like you said, you can say something with sort of the best intent.
Yeah.
But someone else will read it and take something completely different. This happened with one of my friends recently, actually. Something really stupid. But I said something. I said something on text. He completely misinterpreted it.
Mm.
And because of that, sort of, led to this sort of toxic chain reaction, sort of text after text, me replying, him replying, me getting pissed off, him getting even more pissed off. And then the week after we spoke, I was like, bro, like, why were you getting so angry? Like, what were you doing? I was like, because you said this. I was like, hold on a second. This is what I meant when I said that. He goes, oh, this is what I mean. So for me, WhatsApp, texting, whatever, worst place to actually, if you want to have thoughtful communication with someone, it's the worst place. So I do think you can control it. Me sitting here with you, for me anyway,
yeah,
and it depends on the person, I guess, as well.
Of course.
I can sort of communicate a lot better, because when I say something, I'll be able to sort of gauge your reaction as well.
Yes, true. Yeah.
And if I see, hold on a second, why is he squinting his eyes? Or why is he getting upset about it? Clearly I said, oh, hold on, maybe it's because of this. And you can sort of save it that way as well. So I think, How the best thing for me anyway is controlling the channel, at least.
The channel, okay.
What you say, how you say it, it's a character thing.
Yeah.
Not everyone can sort of be a sort of politician when you speak, for example, or be the best diplomat. But at the same time, if you're just going to sort of send cold texts,
because
that's how you text,
and
as long as the person on the other side knows that, then that also helps.
Yeah, of course.
I.e. if you're trying to control how things are sort of received on the other end.
Yeah.
So again, it comes down to transparency. It comes down to sort of making sure that you're doing what you can, whether sort of it's the person understanding who you are in the first place, or you taking it to the right environment to have that conversation. I think there are ways to control it.
Yeah, I think you made a good point about the channel. Like, I love the example you used with WhatsApp. Like, yeah. Oh, bro, fuck WhatsApp, because you can say some, like you said, you can say something, it can be totally misinterpreted, and then it just, like, so many things, like, start to, it accelerates so fast because it's a misunderstanding that now is being, a misunderstanding has happened, and now it's as if something genuine has happened, and we are now, like, talking or arguing about this. So, the WhatsApp channel, I get, I understand. I learned recently that you can say something. My intent is good. Did I deliver the message in the best way? I think it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And the content is positive content, right? Yeah. What I learned is, even with all those things, I can't control how the other person's going to interpret this.
Yeah.
So I was speaking with a friend of mine, Yasmin, shout out Yasmin, that I'm like, okay, let's say that's a situation. How could we improve it? She's like, what if you vocalized your intent behind what you're about to say? I'm like, okay, maybe that could help. But I could still say, like, Noz, I'm going to tell you something, okay? And this is coming from a good place. So I've said my intent. Then I can deliver the message, right? Even with all that, you could still take it in a certain way that I don't want you to, or it might trigger you in a certain way. You know what I mean? So that is the thing that I've been thinking about a lot, is how do you, even if I'm doing the best to control all those factors, I can't control how you're going to interpret it. So what do I do? What should I do? My friend said it's between you and the other person to vocalize how you need to hear things.
Yeah.
So then I can understand next time, okay, this is what I have to do. What do you think?
I think it depends on the person that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
I can see a situation where, I don't know, let's say I want to give a compliment to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm like, Kaz, I'm going to give you a compliment. And then you give the compliment.
Yeah.
It might come across sarcastic.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
So, like, there's that. The second part to it, though, is who are you talking to?
Yeah.
I have actually another very good friend of mine who, I like to think I'm quite an adaptable person, and depending on who I'm speaking to and depending on what environment I'm in,
sure,
the way I talk changes, what I say changes, everything. And he's very similar as well.
Okay.
And that works. I think recognizing that, you know, if you can be a bit of a chameleon because of who you're talking to, it matters. Even you change language sometimes.
Yeah, true.
When I'm in my family, between us, we speak three different languages.
Yeah.
And depending on which language you use sometimes, it matters in terms of the intent behind the communication.
Mm.
For example, typically,
yeah,
if I'm going to speak Armenian, it's maybe because I don't want anyone to maybe know what I'm saying, but also maybe it's a more serious matter. So, by the way, Saro, listen to me.
Yeah.
So I think all those things matter, that depending on who you're speaking to and what is the intent, you can change the language, you can change how you're saying things. If you know that person, for example, doesn't react well to criticism,
mm-hmm,
maybe you're not so sort of upfront about it.
Sure.
And you have to say it, you know, in a sort of indirect way to help them understand.
Yeah.
Other people, you can say it, say it outright.
Yeah.
And they're happy to deal with that criticism.
Yeah.
So I think you can't communicate in the same way to everyone, if that makes sense.
That's a very good point.
Like I said, even stuff like changing language,
yeah,
it changes your intent. So I think that obviously the person on the other side will react however they react.
Yeah, of course.
Usually, I think it comes down to self-awareness and sort of being able to observe that person and their past.
Yeah.
Usually, I think people always have a very good idea how someone's going to react, in my opinion.
You think so?
Yes. I think usually, it's like, I know how to annoy my best friends.
Yeah.
So if I want to annoy them, I know what to say.
Sure.
But I also know how to make them happy, though.
Yeah.
So if I want to make them happy, I know what to say.
Yeah.
So I think 99% of the time, you know how those close to you anyway.
Yeah, of course.
You know how they're going to react to when you're saying something. So it's just using that sort of intuition that you have.
Yeah.
To make sure that what you're saying, let me think about it. Yeah, this guy will react like this to it, and then you say it. I mean, if it doesn't, then it doesn't.
Yeah.
You can't control everything.
No, exactly.
But I think most people know. I think everyone knows when they want to annoy someone.
Yeah.
It's not by accident, typically.
I think so many good points that you made that I didn't even think about. The language change is something I never thought about. Yeah. But, you know, I've been out with you and around you, so, and I've noticed... I notice when you use it, and sometimes I can like. Sometimes you can vibe like, is he using it because it's like a personal, like it's a between them thing, or is there, like you said, a serious thing, yeah, or whatever. There's a reason the language has changed.
Yeah,
you know exactly. What I mean.
It's not an accident.
Exactly, it's not an accident. But I never, until you said it just now, I never like was aware of that. It's just normal. You know, I've seen it. I've been around it, not just you, with many of my friends in their like different languages. Another thing that you said that I think is really important is in different situations with different people, you have to communicate differently because everyone is different, which makes me think now, by the way, all these thoughts I'm getting are happening like right now. This is all real time shit.
Yeah.
This is making me think about like my podcast. This is literally everything we're talking about is exactly this. When we have I have guests sometimes that are good communicators, that we have chemistry, that it's easy, and there's some guests that you don't feel that vibe with. They're just they're different people, so you have to like adjust.
For example, I can imagine you give, I don't know, a glass of wine to one of your guests, that might help them.
Yeah, it could.
Someone else doesn't need that. So again, it's making them feel comfortable in that environment, I imagine.
Yeah.
And the same with you as well.
Yeah.
I asked you before, I said, what's the dress code for this?
Yeah.
And you're like, whatever, chill, fam.
Yeah, chill.
And that, you know, makes me feel more comfortable.
Sure.
I can turn up sort of wearing what I want. That just helps.
Yeah, of course. And again, that's another subtle thing that I didn't even think about until you just said it. But it makes sense. One thing, so you know the famous saying, because we're talking about communication, I've thought about this and I don't know why this happens, but it's so true. I'm going to paraphrase it because I'm not sure exactly what it is. Is it, you know, that saying, the messenger always gets shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
shoot the messenger.
Yeah, don't shoot. That's what it is. Thank you. Yeah. Don't shoot the messenger. And the question I have is, something has happened. Okay.
Yeah.
I have this information, is something I know. I'm like, oh, Noz, this is the message. I didn't do the thing, but I told you the thing, and now, like the anger or whatever's happening seems directed at you. And the question I have is, why does that happen when you have no association to it? Do you know what I mean? It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, when you sort of dive deeper into that saying, it does make you think.
Yeah.
I can imagine it just comes down to the fact that, you know, sometimes, especially when we're younger and immature, and maybe our sort of egos get the better of us.
For sure.
You want to sort of take it out on the messenger.
Because
there's a reason why it's not, oh, don't gift the messenger.
Yeah.
Or gift, like, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's always when it's something sort of negative or gets you quite animated that you feel like, you know what? You're the only one here. I'm just going to sort of react.
Yeah.
And take it out on you, so to speak. So, yeah. It is an interesting... I do wonder now where it comes from.
Yeah.
Which sort of period in history.
Yeah. Because I think... I've been thinking about it now as you're talking. I'm like... I think it's because... It's almost like if I'm the messenger, you are... And you're the receiver. The ownership... Of what, like, if I didn't tell you anything, you don't know nothing. If you found out just like that, I'd be, you know, nothing.
Well, it's the same thing.
But, you know, it's ownership.
It's quite funny. The don't shoot the messenger now can sort of be changed to, I don't know, you might receive a text that you really don't like. And, I don't know, you throw your phone away.
Yeah.
Your phone didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, your phone literally just facilitated that message. Like, you're not taking your anger out on the on the person that's delivered the message. You know, you've done it on that sort of thing. And so I guess that has developed. It's true. You sort of just react. It's not always the person necessarily that's causing that pain, and you sort of take it on them. Do it on your sort of like physical items as well.
Yeah.
Whether it's phone or TV, I don't know, you're watching a football match and your team loses.
Yeah, we lose.
Just goes through the TV. It happens sometimes, right?
It does.
But yeah, so like clearly that sort of don't shoot the messenger term.
What would you say, I guess, so I've learned in my experience as you get older, you communicate differently because you have more life experiences, you've learned more things about people, about yourself. So I guess, do you remember like any examples of a specific time when you reacted or spoke in a certain way for a certain situation that now you would react, it would be completely different?
Yeah, I think the best example for that for me is back at university, in my second year of university, when I was applying to summer internships at investment banks. And I worked really hard on the applications, my CV, making sure the sort of online tests, I sort of killed those as well. And as a result of that, because I sort of prepared pretty well, I got a lot of interviews lined up. And actually even sort of phone interviews before that as well, all good. No problems. Get to sort of the final stages. And incidentally, there were sort of three of these that happened back to back in the same sort of 10-day period.
With three different, like final stages with three different companies.
Yes, okay. And that's going to matter later. I'll come back to it. But happened sort of back to back. And in this sort of final stages of these companies, apart from interviews with people, there were also group exercises with the other candidates.
Okay.
And these group exercises typically were just like, you know, they give you a case study. One of them, for example, was you're stuck on an island with all these different things. You and your sort of other sort of people that you're stranded with, you need to work out how do you survive for next month using only these things.
Mm-hmm.
And the interviews are sort of observing. And they don't care what the sort of final output is.
Yeah, but they want
they're
to watch
observing
you.
How that group of candidates is sort of interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And this is when I'm 19, and this is the first time I'm doing anything like this. I'm taking no advice. These group exercises, I thought it was a good thing to do all the talking. I thought it was a good thing to tell someone when they were wrong. Even like if they were actually wrong, no, that's a terrible idea. We're not doing that. So all these different things, sort of, I came across as very sort of abrasive, aggressive, wanting things done my way, wanting to be the leader, making sure that comes across, for example. Making sure I'm heard. You know, if someone needs to look at the time and say, come on, guys, hurry up. So these group exercises, I thought I was killing it. Honestly, I thought I was doing such a good job because I was like, this is definitely the right thing. That's definitely the right thing. Yep. Tell that guy he's wrong when he's wrong. Did you see that? I told him he's wrong. Anyway, so I did these three interviews, these sort of three separate assessment days, they were called, sort of assessment centers. And then one by one, I got rejected.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, fair enough. I can deal with rejection.
I wasn't the best candidate.
Yeah,
I guess.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It happens, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's not always going to be yes.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you want to ask for feedback.
Yeah.
So, HR lady, it was a HR lady the first time I got this feedback, called me up and said, yeah, it was all very good. And, you know, you came across really well in interviews, but you're just very abrasive, Narayan.
Straight up.
Yeah. You just came across as very, very abrasive during the group exercises. And I was like, you know, I was sort of a little bit like, speech. I didn't know what to say because I've never really in my life been called abrasive or aggressive. I've always been a team player, but I don't know. In that setting, I just thought, I need to make sure I stand out and things come along.
Yeah.
But that feedback came, and then the other two were exactly the same. Okay. The reason for the rejection was this group exercise.
Okay.
And I mean, once I get that feedback, sort of completely changes. And you sort of, the next one that I was in, it was all about, yeah, I do think that's a good idea, but, you know, maybe how about this, for example? Instead of being like, no, that's shit.
Yeah.
We need to do it this way. It changes to, I think that's good, but what do you think about this, for example?
Yeah.
Or making sure everyone speaks. Being the guy that says, oh, by the way, Adam hasn't said anything. Adam, what's your thoughts about this?
Yeah.
So those things I had no idea about.
Yeah.
So that for me is the best example of when, you know, I maybe wasn't the best communicator in that setting, but definitely learnt from it.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's true, to be honest. In life today, I'd say 99% of the time, it's not worth it to make sure that everyone around you knows that maybe you're right and they're all wrong about something, and make sure that they know it.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's like, do you know what? Ignorance is bliss for most people.
Yeah.
And some, for me as well, I say that for me. So yeah, I think that's sort of like translated into my life generally.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be calmer, less aggressive, less abrasive in group settings.
Man, that's I love that story. Mm. I really do, because and especially the timing of it, like when you were 19, university, because I had a similar experience. So when I graduated from uni, I was so like up my ass, and in my head I'm like, oh dude, I will get a job tomorrow, like easy, I don't need anyone's help, like they're gonna be lining up to take me. That's literally how I thought. That's how fucking stupid I was. And so over the next like 6 months, I got a couple of interviews, whatever. I went and I'd like, it felt good. Like, it felt like I had a good conversation. Like, I felt leaving good. I've always felt like, oh, that was good. And I never progressed. I'm I thought it was good, but whatever. I still didn't know why. In my mind, I'm still doing things right. There was just someone better than me. Mm. That's what I was thinking. Mm. And my uncle at the time, so he's worked in sales his whole life and he's hired people, whatever. So he came over one day. He's like, let's do an interview. Because he interviews people.
Yeah.
He's like, let's do an interview and like real, for real. So we sat for like an hour, hour and a half, and we did it and whatever. And I finished and I'm like, fuck yeah, like I feel good. Like I think I did good there.
Nailed it.
And yeah, exactly. That's literally what I was thinking. Yeah. And he told me, we finished. He looked at me. He's like, if it was me, I wouldn't hire you. And like, that was such a like slap in the face, like just such a wake up call, because he wasn't like, he was being real with me.
Yeah.
You know, even he, like, even whatever, you wouldn't hire me. So clearly there's a lot of things, you know, I'm doing wrong, a lot of things I'm saying wrong. And that was a huge wake up call for me. Because in future interviews that I had, I learned, like, and it all comes down to communication. How am I presenting myself? Mm. How am I answering, you know, these type of questions? I got one question once, it was like in the final interview. He's like, so we're in a room, it's a CEO, a senior account manager, and me. He's like, and I had an interview a month before and I answered a question in a different way, similar kind of question, but in a different way. But I'd learned a lot and I'd been reading, whatever. So when he asked me that question, I'm like, she's a senior account manager. You're in sales. She's in sales. Like, what are you going to do to, you know, what are you going to do to beat her? You know, she's a competition, whatever. I looked at him. I'm like, to be very honest with you, like, I don't care about her. Like, I really don't care what she does, how she does. All I can do is control what I do and what I can deliver. I don't care about, you know, anyone else. And he looked at me. He's like, shook his head. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, that moment for you, and like, for example, that moment with me, these wake-up calls are they're literally game changers.
It's important to actually sort of take it and learn from it and sort of make sure that you don't repeat those same mistakes again. I think one thing that, I mean, I never used to use this phrase before, but then, you know, Gary Vee, hero of mine, he calls it kind candor.
Yeah, like, he does.
That's basically what your uncle did for you. He sort of very kindly was candorous with you and said, look, this is where you're fucking up.
Yeah.
So I think it matters. Honest feedback like that, it's important.
Yeah, 100%. I was doing some research before you came over because I was just, I was thinking of what kind of questions we should ask, talk about, whatever. Yeah. So obviously, this is something that is known, but like I wasn't aware, like I didn't read it until recent, like recently. I don't know how to put it into words. The categories of communication. So spoken, like verbal, nonverbal, written, unwritten, for example. And it said one interesting thing, that a misunderstanding can occur in any stage of a communication process. And like, that's very true, you know, given like many examples we could come up with that. And then I started thinking about the concept of first impressions. Okay, and this is going to lead to a couple other things, but it's important. So everyone says like a first impression is like very important with anyone, with anything, with any time. Like your first impression of that person. Do you believe, let's say I have an impression of you that I don't like, first time I met you. Do you believe that can be changed? And if it, let's say if it does change, let's say you were different and time has gone on, because I can think of some people like, okay, you're not what I thought you were, but I still have that like first impression. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it can change, actually. But for me, what it would come down to, for example, if I have a very negative impression of someone, it's happened loads of times.
Yeah.
If it was up to me, I just wouldn't see that person again.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, that first impression is enough for me. It's like, there's no harm, no foul. I don't need to sort of invest my time in that person.
Sure.
However, it can happen. Maybe you've got the same friends.
Yeah.
So, irrelevant of what you want to do, you sort of keep crossing paths.
Yeah. You're cordial.
And eventually, you start to think, hold on, this friend who I sort of respect and love and really think, you know, good judge of character, likes this person I didn't like. There's got to be a reason for that.
Okay.
So then you maybe sort of give it a chance and you're more open-minded. And I think eventually you can sort of see that first impression that maybe, I don't know, maybe that person was drunk that night you met them.
Yeah.
When you meet someone drunk and that's the first time you met them, easily that can happen.
Yeah, very easily, for sure.
Because that's really one of my very, very good friends today. The first time I met him, I hated him.
Yeah, it can happen.
It was at a brunch in New York.
Yeah.
And he was just this he's an American Armenian. So he just came across as this really loud guy, like in New York, brunch, drunk, obviously.
Yeah.
And he was on the other side of the dinner, and I just kept on hearing him. I was just like, God, I'm so happy. I'm never going to see that guy ever again. But he was good friends with mutual friends of mine.
Yeah.
So then there was another occasion where I saw him again. And then, you know, very quickly my opinion changed.
Yeah.
And today he's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can definitely see first impressions being sort of terminal or critical.
Yeah.
Never going to see that person again or blah. Yeah. Even if you change your mind, you still remember that time where, you know, I don't know, maybe they couldn't handle themselves when they were drunk.
Yeah, for sure.
And some people like can't handle that. Oh my God, I saw him doing this.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, you saw him being very sort of rude to a waiter at a restaurant.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If that's how he talks to people. But, you know, it can be sort of unique or it might not be, and you just always sort of take a mental note of that. I think that is true as well for me.
Yeah.
There's some people today, you know, I consider them friends, but because of some historic events, I sort of have a guard up when it comes to certain things.
Yeah.
And that's important as well.
100%.
Because if you know a certain person is capable of something, even if you like that person, it's that first impression maybe, or even like fifth impression, maybe it happened later.
Yeah.
I think it's just as impactful.
I think you made a very good point that, like, I think we can both agree it can change. And based on what you were saying, that sometimes it can change completely. And sometimes, like you just said, you're a friend, but there's levels of friendship, and there's things I won't share with you that I will share with like a closer friend than someone. So it makes sense. Sometimes what's happened to me over like my life, and it still happens sometimes, is you get an impression of someone, like a first impression. Mm. I'm focusing on negatives because it can also go the other way. You can have a positive and then they can turn out to be a dickhead. Like it can happen. This is we're not saying, but it's naturally we tend to think of the negative one first. Yeah. So I have a negative impression of you. And just like you said, you're still in my life in some way. You're not close, but you're still around there. You know what I mean? So I'm going to see you like off, like I'm going to see you more than once. Mm. And sometimes what's happened is because there's been more events, because like I've seen you more and you haven't really done anything like wrong, my perception of you starts to change. And then I start thinking, I'm like, why did I... I feel like an asshole, you know, it's between like me and myself, like, bro, Khaled, like, what the fuck? Like, why did you think that? You know what I mean? And this moves us on to the next part of this whole first impression thing. The layer under that is gut feeling. Mm. Sometimes you talk, and you mentioned this earlier, we talk about like intuition. We all have intuition. Sometimes you can meet someone. They could do absolutely nothing wrong or nothing right.
But you
right,
don't like them.
But you don't like them. And it's a gut feeling. The question is, like...
I think it's those other things.
So, okay,
that
tell
we spoke
me.
About at the beginning. You sort of see how that person dresses, for example. And you sort of see maybe even just the way they speak. It's not even actually what they're saying. But all these things. And maybe you know what their job is. And you don't like that about that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was an investment banker, people that I'd never even met would be like, oh, banker wanker, all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not everyone like investment bankers.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I think that's really common. I can sort of have a very, very positive view about someone as well, without having it sort of ever met them, and then I meet them, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, how did I ever think that?
Mm.
Like, but like, yeah, I think someone can do nothing wrong to you.
Yeah.
But you hate them.
You hate them. Yeah.
Can I? It's true. Because of the that's other true. Forms of communication.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, someone, again, like NFTs, for example.
Mm.
I love VFriends.
Yeah.
Gary Vaynerchuk's NFT project. Before someone even does anything, if I know that they own a VFriend, straight away, I'm like, I can vibe with that guy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason he's got a VFriend.
Yeah.
Can also work the other way.
Mm.
I don't know. He or she has invested in a project that I hate.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yep.
I'm like, God, if that person's buying that project,
yeah,
no respect for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Done nothing wrong to me.
Yeah.
But these are the things. So like, whether it's sort of virtual goods or physical goods or like just even your mannerisms or... Oh, he's friends with that guy even. Like, you know something about that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it happens all the time, every day.
Yeah, for sure. And on the do you think, because, and this, the concept of gut feeling comes up a lot. This is where you hear it the most in relationships.
Yeah.
You'll be dating a girl, or a girl's dating a guy. You're dating for a while. From the beginning, you had like this gut feeling about it. Something's off. But you continued with it. And then you keep going, time goes on, whatever, you're in a relationship. And then you break up.
Mm.
And I've heard this 10 million times. You break up and everyone says like, I knew it. You know, I felt it. You know, I had that gut feeling at the beginning, but I didn't trust it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So do you think we should always trust it?
If you're not going to trust it, then you need to confront it. Yeah. I mean, if you've got this feeling, for whatever it is, you've got to be transparent about it.
Mm.
And communicate. So, I mean, that's where communication is such a sort of important part of a relationship.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want to confront it. That's why it's so hard in relationships, I think, communicating. Because there might be something that you don't like about that person. And you're just too scared to bring it up.
Mm.
And then that sort of just... bubbles and bubbles and bubbles, and eventually explodes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's important that whenever you have that sort of feeling in your gut, that sort of instinct, either you sort of trust it, like you said, like why don't I just trust it straight away instead of sort of letting it linger, or you confront it.
When you say the interesting thing when you say okay, because this is how I think about it. When you said confront it, I'm like, okay, that's interesting. What do you mean by that? And let's use this relationship example. I started dating this girl. From the beginning, I had a gut feeling about her. Okay, I don't know what that feeling is. I don't know what it is, right? So when you say confront it, the way I understood it was, it's a confrontation with like myself. You know, it's like me and Mike, it's between like Khaled's brain and Khaled's gut. And we have to like have a conversation like, okay, why are you feeling this way? Like, what the fuck's going on? You know, that's how I see it.
If you don't know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm talking about.
But then there's that next stage of, if you know what it is and you're just ignoring it, it's a gut feeling. It might not be true.
True, yeah.
That's what I mean. So you confront it with that person. You're like, by the way, look, there's this thing that's like making me feel uncomfortable. I just want to bring it up and I want us to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's as easy as that.
Yeah.
And then it turns into something really positive.
Yeah.
Because that gut feeling is gone.
Yeah, yeah. That like stress ball or whatever. Yeah.
It turns into something even more positive where like, do you know what? You've realized that there's sort of this massive misalignment and you just don't, and you see completely differently. You don't see eye to eye, but you've not sort of wasted, you know, sometimes years, people.
Yeah. Yeah,
ignoring that gut feeling, sort of going through the motions for no reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, the only other thing that I wanted to mention as well, because coming back to the sort of first impressions point, was stereotypes.
Stereotypes.
I think before you even meet someone, this comes back to the point why you might like them, why not like them. I think it comes down to stereotypes. I think that's something that, like, if people don't admit it, that stereotypes exist.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Because it does in society today. I think it's more prevalent in other countries than some other countries, but everywhere it exists.
Yeah.
And that, straight away, before you meet someone, gives you an impression of that person. Stereotypes. I think,
true.
Yeah. I mean, that is the sort of, for me anyway, the best example of where someone can do no wrong to you. And because you have this sort of stereotypical view, it leads to sort of a very negative, I don't know, path with that person for you. And the other way around as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Said the V Friends examples.
Exactly, yeah, no.
But yeah, stereotypes. I think that's another sort of...
That is a that's a fantastic point. Yeah. Because when you said it, I'm like, yeah, I get him. Because I've had situations where I meet someone, I don't like them. I've put them in a certain stereotype, like, this is...
You put them in that box.
In that box.
Before they've done anything.
Exactly. And people in this box are typically like this. They typically think this. They typically talk like this, spend like this, whatever the case might be, right? And that... this conversation is fantastic because you're just putting me on to, like, my next question. It's perfect. So this comes on to the next point, which is basically what we've been talking about. Stereotypes is a great point because now it brings up the concept of judgment. We are the, like, it's almost, you know, when people, this is what pisses me off sometimes, we'll be having a conversation, let's say there's someone we don't like, you know, and I'll say this so I don't sound like an asshole, but it's your bullshit because what you're about to say is a judgment. Be like, I don't judge, but you're gonna, then you say your fucking judgment. I'm like, no, if you weren't, it's the best line, because I'm like, if you weren't judging, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Does a crazy person say, like, I'm not crazy? No, they don't. And you're fucking crazy because you're going to judge them. So the question I have is, I guess, why it's instinctive. Like, we don't even control it. And it takes a lot of thinking and work and time, even in real time, for you to, like, not, like, it's like a thought that comes. Like, let's say a thought, this is a judgment thought that's come up. And it's very hard for you not to get, like, pulled, you know, pulled away.
Most of the time, you can't help it.
Yeah, and I just don't know why.
You don't even realize you're doing it. That's the problem.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's what I mean. I think that comes down to just self-awareness.
Yeah.
If you're able to recognize certain things about yourself that you know, that you do.
Yeah.
You know, isolated, i.e. away from the event. But the more you realize that, oh, you do that,
yeah,
then maybe you sort of, next time it happens, you can sort of maybe think about it. But I think that's what I mean. You have to sort of be accountable to that.
Accountable.
Yeah, I think if, for example, I don't know, growing up, actually, this is a good example. Growing up, I never really had many friends who were girls.
Okay.
In fact, I think I've got more friends who are girls in Dubai than in the UK, for example.
Okay.
And that maybe was just sort of a subconscious thing in my head, was like, you know what? And that's what I mean. It doesn't even think about it, but like, I prefer to be friends with boys.
Yeah.
With my boys. Like, that's where I want to go out. Like, it's very stereotypical to say this stuff, for example, but girls like to gossip, for example. Everyone says that thing. Or girls are a little bit more, I don't know, hold grudges. That's another sort of stereotypical view.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I believe in these things, but maybe growing up, it was these things that...
Like subconsciously.
Subconsciously, you thought about, I thought, I don't want to be friends with these girls, for example. Without even sort of thinking.
Yeah.
And maybe back then as well, in my head, I only wanted to have a certain type of relationship with girls as well.
Not
friendships.
Yeah.
And that really has changed quite a lot since I've been in Dubai. And I can sort of admit that, and I can, looking back on it, I can recognize maybe it was because of this or because of that, but you're not consciously doing these things a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But I think the key is recognizing it, being accountable to it, and then if you have that sort of self-awareness, then maybe you can change it.
Yeah.
Like I said, here I've got loads of friends who are girls.
Yeah.
I don't have that issue.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was an issue back then, but I can count on one hand the amount of like close girlfriends.
Yeah.
Back in London, for example.
Exactly, yeah. I think something that has, I think throughout our whole conversation today, I think that the, like the foundation of everything, in everything we've talked about, is self-awareness.
Yeah.
And everyone is, this is what bothers me sometimes, okay? I don't care if I sound like, oh, I'm very, like, so aware. But no, I have blind spots too. Like, a week ago, I found out things about myself that I had a... So, it's a good story. I had a coaching session with a previous client of mine. She's like, I need to do a coaching session for my course. It's free. Shout out, Lorna. Are you down to do it? I'm like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. I've never had a coaching session.
Yeah.
And in that session, I learned things that I knew, but the... It's like if you have like two magnets, okay? And they're like here. They're like, guys, for people who can't, okay, you can see if you can't see. And they're like here. So like I was aware of some I was aware. I'm like, yeah, I see them. I see these two thoughts, these two things. But after that session, some things I never even knew like linked. Mm. And it became like so clear. And what bothers me sometimes is like, I know I have blind spots. We all do. I consider myself personally to be quite self-aware.
Yeah.
And when you're self-aware, sometimes people do things, react or like say things or whatever. And you can, because you've done a lot of work to like, you can like logically go through the steps. Okay, so someone said this, this is how I reacted. Why did it, like you have like that process. Yeah. You can see someone doing something, but they're like, they have no idea.
Yeah,
like
they're oblivious. No,
yeah, exactly. You know, and it frustrates me sometimes because I'm like, if you just knew, like if you could see the things that I can see, this would be, I think this would be better. I don't know. What do you think?
But, well, I think it's important not to be frustrated by that.
That's the thing.
Again, this isn't like me trying to put myself on a pedestal.
No, yeah. That's not like, the point of it.
I completely get what you're saying. You're in a situation sometimes where you can see something's about to play out. And again, it comes down to communicating when you don't even realize you're communicating something to someone else.
Yeah.
Someone can be, you know, talking really pretentiously, for example, and making someone feel really uncomfortable and they don't even see it. You see it. Now, it's down to you whether to intervene or not. And how you intervene also matters.
Yeah.
Do you just want to intervene, sort of help the person that's feeling uncomfortable? Take them away from that situation.
Yeah.
Maybe the person that's making that person feel uncomfortable is your friend.
Yeah.
You want to take that person away from the situation and tell them, by the way, bro, This.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't care, so you won't even tell them that. But yeah, it's recognizing that, you know what? This person just can't help it.
Mm.
And if it bothers you that much, then that person's not in your life anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, that self-awareness, I think, is key to everything.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. Everything that, when it comes down to communication, that self-awareness, or even just awareness,
yeah,
matters a lot.
Yeah.
You could be communicating something that you don't without even realizing it if you're not self-aware.
Yeah, 100%. And I love the way you described it, that you might be able to see, like, you can see a situation that might play out. You can see it. And so for you, it's like, it's almost like this doesn't need to happen. So I want to say, like, I want to do something because otherwise it's going to happen. You know what I mean? You're just trying to, what's the word? Avoid like a negative situation or avoid a problem.
You know,
or whatever.
You know those people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and again, and it's not even that you should get angry at that person for doing it, because you know, this is a big thing for me actually.
Yeah.
It comes down to expectation as well.
Expectation.
I know who Khalid is.
You brought up a big topic now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I know who Khalid is.
Sure.
So when Khalid does stuff that isn't to my expectations,
yeah,
that's when maybe I might get a bit annoyed.
Yeah.
But if he's doing something that, like, do you know what, is really, I don't know, that would make me angry in a typical situation, but actually I have no expectations of Khalid. I don't know who Khalid is.
Yeah.
Then you shouldn't be angry at that person.
Mm.
Because you don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that person's just always like that.
Yeah.
Whereas, I guess, my brothers, for example, I have really high expectations of my brothers.
Of course, yeah.
So I treat them a lot more harshly than, say, one of my friends.
Yeah.
And that can come across as sort of a little bit bad sometimes.
Yeah.
Because my youngest brother will be like, why are you saying this to me? Or why are you being so rude to me? Or whatever. You don't ever say these things to other people.
Mm.
It's because of expectations.
Yeah.
So I think that's another big thing for me, where when I go to a restaurant, the only time I will complain about food is if I know that this food shouldn't be like that. For example.
Exactly. Yeah, I get you. Okay.
It's the same thing with people.
Mm-hmm.
You should never get angry at someone or waste that sort of emotional energy on someone.
Yeah.
Unless sort of it's out of the ordinary. If it's expected, you know that guy's going to start a fight.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
Why are you getting angry at him? That's the person.
Yeah. That's true.
Anyway, so yeah, expectation, I think, is another one.
Yeah. I think that's a very important one that we didn't touch on. And I think I agree with your outlook on it. It makes sense that, you know, like if you don't know the person, I have no expectation of you. Yeah. I don't know you. So no matter how
get angry at you,
no matter how you react, whatever, it's not worth, or like, yeah, why should I? I don't know you. But the good point, the important point that you said is, if I do know you and you're acting out of character or in a certain way, then I know the right, but then it makes more sense for me to be angry or frustrated and talk
about
what
you communicate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Coming back to the sort of communication point.
Yeah.
That's another thing. You know, you're saying different people, you'll communicate different things.
Yeah.
I think expectation comes down to that as well. If you have sort of zero expectations of that person, you won't communicate the same things as someone that you have high expectations for.
True. Yeah, no.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And this leads us on to the last, you know, the closing of our fantastic discussion today. It's been so much fun. Two things. One thing I always have said is, and this is like, you always, you know how people like to say, I'm so like open-minded. Mm. I'm like so open-minded, like everything's cool, whatever. Yeah. I always say, I'm like, you're only as open-minded until it's closed.
Yeah.
So until, I'm so open-minded, whatever. Once I hit or like I trigger those things that you have no compromise on, I'm sorry, you're not open-minded anymore. You know what I mean? So, but you want to be open-minded. So it's like, it's that balance. It's between you and yourself and your perspectives on life or everything. How do you take in new information that maybe contradicts the beliefs you might have or whatever, and try to like, they don't necessarily have to change, but you know, you have to you have to think about them. You have to learn about them.
Yeah. I think I have a pretty strong view about this as well, actually.
Okay.
It's good to be open-minded, but you eventually get to, you know, a point in your life where you know what you like, for example.
Yeah.
You know what you don't like.
Yeah.
So sometimes being open-minded, when you already know from past experiences. This is what I mean. So it's important that you have as many sort of life experiences as you can. It's a waste of your time. It's not worth being open-minded in that situation. Like for me, for example, I'm the sort of person that will find a restaurant that I like.
Okay.
And typically, I'll always just go to that restaurant.
Mm.
And by the way, I'm also going to order the same thing at that restaurant. Okay, sometimes, you know, I'll be open-minded. But like, I know what I like.
Yeah.
Why, you know, there's loads of sayings. Why fix something when it's not broken?
Or
why change the winning formula? But where it is very important to be open-minded, because this is what I mean. I'm like this now, but it's not necessarily I was like this 10 years ago.
Sure, yeah, of course.
Same with relationships. I was back then, sort of when I was 16, 17, 18, until like 28, really. Never really had a proper relationship. And that was sort of me actively not wanting to have one.
Mm.
I thought it was important that I always had an open mind, for example, about everything.
Mm.
I felt you can't do that growing up with a girlfriend, for example.
Sure.
Same thing when you're trying food. You should be open-minded.
Yeah.
But once you try something and you don't like it,
don't force
that person to eating that food. If they haven't been open-minded once upon a time, fine. But it's important for people to recognize that eventually there comes a time where person knows what they like and what they don't like.
Yeah.
And when you've sort of had enough experiences to develop that understanding about yourself, you have to pick and choose when to be open-minded, in my opinion.
I like that. Because
otherwise you'll be wasting a lot of time.
Yeah.
And that's another big thing. Your time is sort of the most sort of precious commodity that you have.
We're not getting it back.
Yeah. It's finite. There's no repeats.
No repeats. It's true. At least we'll have this podcast to remember.
Exactly. Your time is precious. So be selective.
Yeah.
When you're being open-minded.
I love what you said, how you're like, you can being open-minded in certain things, in certain situations, you have to pick and choose, because the challenge or the thing that I think about is, and we're taking open-mindedness now and bringing it more, not just on things I like and don't like, to like core beliefs.
Yeah.
You know, like my values, how I see, you know, family, how I see whatever, religion, money, like the core values, my identity, you know? And nowadays, bro, there's so many different like things you hear and read. It doesn't it doesn't change my beliefs, but it does make me maybe develop a new perspective. I haven't thought about it in that way. You know what I mean?
It becomes a maybe instead of a no.
Perfect.
Bro. I think that's important as well.
But yeah.
NFTs for me. I know I keep on mentioning NFTs.
It's a good example.
So many people, when it comes to sort of this asset class, if you like, are very close-minded, in my opinion. 90% of my friends, the moment I mention NFTs, be like, a waste of time, not doing it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So open-mindedness also comes down to, you know, the way you've invested in your life.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It can be a generational thing or whatever. 20 years ago, people were uncomfortable sort of using their credit card online. It's not the case anymore. So I think, again, things change, and you know that open mind is eventually sometimes you're forced to sort of adopt something that maybe you have a very close mind about. But
true,
I think it's important whether it's NFTs or food or people, when it's something new, you have no opinion of, you have no experience of, it's better to always be like maybe, instead of no straight away. I used to do that when I was, for example, in investment banking, where my time so much taken up by the job, it was just always no to everything else.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
I look back on that and think, okay, fine, I did that for 5-6 years or whatever it was, but I can recognize what I lost out on as well.
Yeah,
it was never a maybe.
Yeah,
someone would ask me, "Oh, what do you think about Bitcoin?" You know, 5 years ago, which if I said maybe back then, would have been a very,
very nice maybe,
fruitful maybe. Yeah. So I've learned my lesson there as well. I think it's always important to, when it's something you have no education on or no experience on, it's good to have that maybe attitude.
Yeah.
But again, selective open-mindedness.
Yeah, selective open-mindedness. I really like that, and I like what you, I love what you said about how if you don't know something, like if it's something new, and I think the NFTs example is great because we're living it right now. Yeah, we're seeing it. Relevant. We're having these kind of conversations. Don't just put a no. Go at it with like a, because if you go at it with a maybe mindset, it's a curious mindset. You know, I want to learn. I'm like, I don't know what this is. Let me find out more, and then I'll decide like how I feel.
Yeah.
And this moves us on to our last few questions. I have this and two more.
Okay.
And this is one that it's an interesting one. I think about a lot. I have a definition for it. Or what I think. I'm curious. I want to hear what you think first. If I asked you, Maknoz, how would you define maturity or someone who's mature? What would you say?
For me,
yeah,
a lot of examples in my head come up straight away.
Okay.
Where, you know, someone may have thought I was very immature. Whereas in my opinion, I was being mature.
Yeah.
So when you ask that question, that's sort of triggered what's happening in my mind. I think it depends on the, it's, again, it comes down to the environment as well. It's incredible how many people I know are so mature in a workplace, but so immature, I don't know, on a night out socially.
Okay.
So if I really wanted to define it, I think it's consistency. If you're able to sort of draw upon your sort of full life experiences and you're sort of making future decisions consistently in line with your character, I think there's a level of maturity in that. I.e., not everyone has to be the same.
Okay.
So that, you know what, if someone's going to party every night for the rest of their life, I'm not going to call them mature. It's a living for some people.
Mm. Yeah.
You can see on social media, influencers, they literally make an income from going out every night.
Yeah.
And on the face of it, a lot of people are like, oh, that person's so immature.
Mm.
But actually, if this is consistently what they're doing, there's a reason for that. It's their livelihood.
Mm.
So I don't know. This is, by the way, me just sort of
thinking
out loud.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because I've never really thought about this question. But yeah. I think consistency is a sign of maturity. Because that really, for me, is showing that that person is being true to their own character, whatever that character is.
Mm.
So they've taken that mature decision to stay true to that.
Yeah.
And they're going to do this.
Whether right or wrong.
Whether right or wrong. This is what I mean. Wrong for someone can be right for someone else.
Absolutely. 100%.
That's what I'm not saying criminal activity. If they do that consistently every day, exactly, it's a sign of maturity.
Yeah.
But I just think that's such a sort of powerful trait in someone. If they're sort of consistently able to handle themselves in all sorts of different environments and they're the same person, no matter what, there's a sign of maturity there. Obviously, responsibility, I think.
Yeah, of course.
Having that level of trust. I think trust is another really big sign of someone sort of being mature.
Trusting, like being a trusting person or trusting yourself?
No, I think being trustworthy, I guess.
Trustworthy, yeah.
I don't think people trust you if they don't think, you know, you're mature. Respect as well. How I sort of handle myself with you, how you handle yourself with me, I think it's a sort of sign of maturity. And again, the other big thing is adapting to the different environments as well.
Yeah.
Where, okay, there is this consistency, this underlying character, but you can recognize that maybe you need to speak like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in a different environment,
yeah,
you can sort of be a bit more relaxed and,
yeah,
you know, whether it's on the football pitch, for example, and be like, oh, lads, yeah. You're not going to say that. So I think recognizing those. But yeah, there is a consistency, I don't know.
Yeah. I have never actually thought of consistency when in my definition of like what I thought.
Yeah, I'll be interested to know actually what you think.
Because when you're saying consistency, I'm like, and then we talked about right or wrong case, not that. Then you talked about Responsibility, which obviously is very important. Respect, huge one. And another one that I like wouldn't have thought of is trust. That would have never came to my mind.
Yeah.
And I think you made a good, like everything we're talking about, this is the problem sometimes, I think. So let's say we go on your definition. A mature person is responsible, trustworthy,
consistent.
Consistent, and I can't remember what the last one was. That's those four things. But like you said, I like to look at those as like they're areas, okay? Yeah. Let's think it's a park.
Yeah.
There's responsibility area, there's that area. So they're not like fixed.
No.
It's like the core is there, but the rest is fluid. You know what I mean? Like you said, like if you're on the football pitch, you're not going to be like, hello, everyone, nice to meet you. You know, just have a good game, lads. Like, you're not going to talk like that. Yeah. You're going to be like, fuck it, let's go, whatever. Yeah. So it's fluid. For me, when it comes to maturity, everything you said, I agree with everything you said, but the core thing for me, in my mind, is emotional control.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's something that we've not really touched upon at all.
Yeah, and that was why I was even... Because
emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence and emotional control. Because... And it fits into what you're talking about. You said something. To be able to handle yourself in whatever situation. To be able to do that in many different situations, you need a level of emotional control. And that's a level of maturity because it will dictate how you act and how you react.
Yeah.
But obviously, as we all know, emotional intelligence and like dealing with your emotions is the hardest thing to do because it's a 24/7 job.
Yeah.
You know, it's emotion versus mind. It's the most difficult
thing to judge. Exactly. Well. That's why.
Exactly. So and the most difficult thing to not only be aware of, but to like deal with, to like feel it and not be like, go away. Let me like change, say something to make me feel better or whatever. So that's what I think. I think emotions are, and it kind of plays into everything we've talked about today.
Yes.
Behind everything is self-awareness and
emotional soft control. Skills.
Exactly.
I agree. They are all under the umbrella of emotional control and intelligence. I agree with that.
Yeah. That's the hardest probably thing to do. And you never stop learning about that.
Yeah.
You never stop. You know, like what I felt about something maybe a year ago, how I feel about it now is completely different, you know, because of life, because of your experiences. But I do agree with everything you said. I think, though, like it just fits, all those things kind of fit together, and that's what makes maturity, man. Damn, so, bro, my mind's like so many things are like popping up in this conversation. It's fucking sick. It's
deep.
Noz, I just got two more questions for you. These are questions, if you listen to the podcast, I've asked all my guests. Number one, looking back either professionally, personally, whatever, if I ask you the question, what are you most proud of? What comes to mind? What would you say?
I mean, straight away, I know this is a bit of a cliche, but I am most proud of like my family's bond.
Family's bond?
Yeah. It's three brothers and my parents. So I'm talking about my direct family.
Yeah.
I'm really proud that we've got like a very sort of strong and positive relationship. And that's what I want in the future for when I have my own sort of family one day.
Yeah.
It's very easy for me to say that. That's literally the first thing that pops in my mind. I'm proud of my parents. I'm proud of my brothers.
Yeah.
I'm proud of our family. But I guess just taking that aside, there's loads of little moments. I'm definitely proud of.
Yeah.
But for me, it's more that throughout my life, my character has always been, if something isn't making you happy, then it's up to you to change it.
Yeah.
And I don't sort of just wait and sit around for something else or someone else to change it.
Yeah.
I sort of get
take action.
Yeah. Same way. I decided investment banking wasn't for me after sort of 6 years. It wasn't that I was unhappy for 6 years. It was sort of, there's this like this 1 month period really where I was like, look, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And that I'm proud of that. I've sort of lived, in my opinion, a very lucky and happy life because of decisions like that. So I'm proud that I've sort of pushed myself to always make decisions like that.
Yeah.
And I'll always encourage that to people. I think the process matters more than the sort of the final destination. The final destination,
yeah.
The final destination can be whatever it is.
Yeah.
I know it's the journey. Everyone says it's the journey, it's not the final. But if that process isn't making you happy, again, there's no repeats.
Yeah.
In this life, time is the most sort of precious thing. So make sure that whatever you're doing day to day, whoever you're spending it with, that you're happy. And so, yeah, I'm proud that the moment that I don't feel happy, I sort of change that.
Change that, yeah. A lot of people, it's interesting, a lot of people, when I've asked them this question on the podcast, so many people have talked about family. Mm. He's like, people say like my kids,
yeah.
You know, my daughters, my son, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I guess since we are not parents.
Yeah.
I hope not.
you know of.
Not yet. I get it, but I don't have that like feeling, you know, I can't, because I haven't experienced it, so I can't like really understand that. But when you talked about the family bond you have, like, for example, I've seen it, you know, I've lived it, yeah. You know, your dad giving me vodka shots at 9 a.m. I will never, ever forget that, bro. You have no idea.
Yeah.
And when I, listening to that, and I reflect on like my family and like our dynamic and stuff, and what I like nowadays is when you're growing up, your parents is like, that's mom, that's dad.
Yeah.
But now we're older. I look at them as like people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
part of the crew.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is mom. Yes, she's my mom, but she's like this. She reacts. Or my dad, similar kind of thing. So I resonate with that a lot. Yeah. And what you said about change, like if you're not happy, you know, change it. I really like what you said. There's no repeats. I love that. I'm gonna keep that in mind. Yeah. And making those changes, man, is, it's not always the easiest thing to do. It's not, you know, we can say that, but there's a lot behind those statements and what you, and
yeah, doing, it shouldn't doing be easy.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, whenever I'm saying any of this, I agree. It's not easy.
Yeah. 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 But obviously when we speak, we just speak.
Yeah.
And for my last question, Nas, what is the message you'd like everyone to take home with them today?
What is the final message? I think repeating what I said earlier, I think it's important to have this sort of maybe attitude.
Okay.
Be selectively open-minded. I think this is sort of like, for me, I've never ever said that line before in my life.
Yeah.
But after having had this conversation, if there's anything that, thinking about it, that I want sort of people to take from this conversation is be selectively open-minded. Like I said, your time is precious. Make sure that whatever you're doing makes you happy. As long as you sort of been on that journey to find out what those things are, be selectively open-minded.
Be selectively open-minded. That's something I haven't heard of before either. And listening to it, I really resonate with it a lot. I really get like what you're talking about. I think that's an awesome message to round off this fantastic conversation, man. This has been so much fun. And see, this kind of
conversation flies, isn't it?
It just does. But these kind of conversations are the ones that I realize I want to start having more of, because when we're talking about a topic, like I enjoy it because I am learning. And but these kind of like bigger topics that open up so many, like we went through 10 million doors today. Yeah, you know what exactly. I mean? This is
start of communication, but definitely wasn't just about that.
Exactly. You know, but we ended like here. So I want to say thank you so much, man, for coming on the show and for your time and for being a good guest and having this awesome conversation with me, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hope it helps.
We hope it helps, guys. We hope it helps. Guys, as always, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And as always, hope it helps. Peace.